It's the Fact Pack Fun Drive edition of Radio Free Thinker. This week, Leap Seconds, Vegetable Pizza, Power of Bankruptcy, Cyclops Sharks, Trust Genes, Bible Baby Beatings, Nocebo, Updates of First Nations, Virus Stuff, and asking you for donations. This begin episode 142.
Hello and welcome to Radio Free Thinker, the radio show podcast that promotes skepticism and critical thinking, right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Ethan, your free thinking historian.
And this is Don, your political science philosopher.
And finally back with you with my mouth more or less intact is Jenna, your biochemist.
Yes, Jenna, so welcome back. And you picked an excellent episode to return to our store.
You bet I did. Oh.
Our show.
Your store full of knowledge and interesting skeptical and scientific facts?
Well, no. I like to think of this maybe in an odd sort of way in the back of my head as sort of as a store. We sit here and we have a particular product. We have independent, fact-filled, skeptical knowledge that we are trying to sell.
Wow, that sounds great.
To our audience. And, you know, how can you get in on this wonderful deal?
I don't know, but it sounds worth $30 to $60 for sure.
It is. And this week we're having our pledge drive, or our fun drive, where we hope that our loyal audience will come in and donate X amount of dollars, whatever you can spare. We prefer that you donate more money than less money. But it allows us to come into your homes, into your iPhones, your podcasts, however you're listening to us every week, and give you this wonderful source of critical thinking, a skeptical look on the world, and just entertain you in the wonderful, fantastic way that we do every week.
And you know how people can donate to Radio Free Thinker? They can call right now, 604-822-8648, and make a donation. Like Jenna said, any amount is welcome, although we prefer on the upper side of that.
And you know, if you call now, not only will you get the fantastic purchase of this show, this radio station, and the wonderful personalities you're listening to.
And I think Don's eternal soul, he was putting up for almost any donation.
Yes, you can have that. I'll give it away for donation. But Radio Free Thinker itself has some special swag, some special extra things that not only will you get the show, but you will also get...
Well, that's right, Don. Radio Free Thinker, as always, has put together some skeptical prize packs for our favorite donators. Anyone who donates $20 will receive a JREF sticker, decal, and Flim Flam bumper sticker. I should point out that all these prizes have been furnished by our good friends at the James Randi Educational Foundation.
And you can get a sneak peek of them if you go to radiofreethinker.com. There's a special blog that we did for this particular episode.
That's right. Any donation over $30 will receive a checkbook full of blank $1 million checks.
We're giving away $1 million?
Well,
I think that's like however many millions of dollars multiplied by the number of checks in the book.
Well, yeah, conceivably, yes. These are actually not real $1 million checks, but they are representations of the checks that the JREF produces for their $1 million challenge. Whenever someone comes up and says, hey, I can psychically predict the future or move things with my brain, or I can prove that homeopathy works, the JREF says, well, step right up, prove it, and we will give you $1 million. This has been a prize that the JREF has been putting on for many years, and we have checkbooks that commemorate this amazing challenge.
So, any out there, any economists out there, if you donate $1 million to our episode, our show, we'll give you this checkbook full of $1 million checks. I mean, that's got to be a good investment.
I would think so. You're getting a great, great deal back.
It's even a better investment at $30.
Yes.
Now, any donation over $40 will receive a Radio Free Thinker CD gift pack. This includes the best of and best of interviews here on Radio Free Thinker.
I think we should really call it our box set.
We can call it a box set.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes me happier.
I'll even build a box if we get a donation sufficiently enough of them. I'll make a box for them. I can do that.
All right. Good times.
Any donation over $70 will receive a copy of James Randi's book, The Faith Healers. Fantastic book. You know, I always remember when Randi was on Johnny Carson, The Tonight Show, when he debunked faith healers with some psychic surgery. Very funny. A little gross, but yes. Quite good. So, great book to read. Now, any donation over $80 will receive a JREF t-shirt. These sizes come in extra large, and there's two variations. There's the Flim Flam shirt and the Debunk shirt, which is my personal favorite, and it features James Randi doing battle with Sylvia Brown and his nemesis, Uri Geller. Ooh. So you got to pick up that shirt. Really fantastic.
Is there any bloodstains on that one?
No, but...
I can add them.
Sylvia Brown has really long fingernails, so... any donation over $100.09...
You mean any donation of $101.09?
Yes, that works too. We'll receive a TAM DVD set. Now, of course, this is the amazing meeting that the JREF puts on every year. These are fantastic gatherings of skeptics, critical thinking, all you can imagine. And we have two DVD sets. We have a DVD set from TAM 5.5 and TAM 7. So you got speakers like Phil Plait, Richard Dawkins, and so forth on these DVD sets. Definitely check these out. If you've ever been to a TAM, check out these DVDs.
Cool.
And I should mention that all of these prizes that are specific to the Radio Free Thinker Show are also in addition to the swag that's being offered by the CITR radio station, which includes membership cards, record bags, t-shirts, and whatnot, depending on the amount that you're donating. So just ask the helpful person on the phone for the amount that you'd like to donate, what the swag includes.
But we've saved the best for last. If you... are a person willing to donate $250 to CITR's fund drive under the name of Radio Free Thinker, you will get to be a guest Radio Free Thinker host. You will be able to do your own show, host your own show, or sit in with us during a whole episode. By a small amount of just $250, we'll give you fame. You'll be known across the world. I'm sure people listen to us across the world.
Sure they do.
Yes. So, well, no. Okay. Well, we know at least Western Canada. We have affiliates, which we hope are listening to, and feel free to go to our website and add their own little financial contribution in places like Winnipeg, Lethbridge,
Kamloops.
I always get that with another K city in BC mixed up. So,
well, it's really close to Kelowna.
Exactly. And if you're in one of these cities and you want to do this $250 donation and be a part of our show for an episode, we will make arrangements via Skype or some other form of future technology to do that. So please call in right now to 604-822-8648. Jenna, that's in words is?
UBC Unit.
Or you can go to citr.ca/donate and find the Radio Free Thinker link on that page. And please donate now.
I should point out that if you donate online, you aren't eligible for the prizes. So calling in is the better option of those two.
Depending on if you want prizes. But in any way you donate, you're going to be supporting the quality programming that you're used to hearing here on CITR, the independent college radio station where we are allowed to bring you the information that we think is really important.
So I think we should start the show. And actually, I thought we could start because we're running long on time.
Well, why don't we start with our seldom used but always interesting this day in history. Do you guys know what happened? Maybe, I don't know, 1963, something important in Dallas, Texas?
Was it
Smarties ice cream was invented.
Well, I was going to go for the second landing of aliens in Roswell.
You're maybe both right. But on November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Well, President Dallas, of what Texas. Country?
The U.S. See, Jenna doesn't know who John F. Kennedy is. That was really kind of surprising to
either
us.
Either that or I'm just playing exceptionally dumb.
Well, no, you see, this is another one of those things, how conspiracy theories, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, are very temporal. But tell us a bit more about the incidents around this particular movie-like president.
Movie-like. Yeah, he was definitely moving. President Kennedy, he arrived in Dallas, Texas during the election campaign. In 1964, there would have been a new election. And Kennedy wanted to be reelected, obviously. So he started a tour of the southern states where, it was most conservative and where he was least popular. So they thought, okay, well, let's put him in a motorcade and drive him through the city. And Kennedy and his wife would be in the back seat of the limousine, and Governor Connally and his wife would sit in front of them. But as they were going down the road, Kennedy was shot from the sixth floor of the book depository. A suspect, Lee Harvey Oswald, was arrested, and he went on to be, you know, the culprit. Kennedy's death has spawned a whole slew of conspiracy theories, including suggestions that Kennedy was killed by the CIA, the KGB, the American Mafia, the Israeli government, the FBI director J. Edgar Hoover, sitting Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson, the Cuban President Fidel Castro, anti-Castro Cuban exile groups, the Federal Reserve, or some combination of these entities.
You know, I find it interesting, as I was alluding to before, is this very, these conspiracy theories do tend to be fatal, and they, you know, they tend to be temporal in nature. Jenna, and I'm sure a lot of other people who are not as well-read in their history, which, you know, it's up to people's...
We all have our niche.
Exactly. But I remember the same sort of conspiracy theories jumping up when the Pope was shot, when Lenin was shot, when Reagan was shot. And, of course, no one thinks about those conspiracy now. So you had the same thing with 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, even when Lee Harvey Oswald was shot himself.
Oh, yes.
So there was that extra layer of conspiracy behind the whole thing. And I mean, it, obviously, there was a conspiracy to shoot Kennedy by Oswald.
At least.
Yeah. That's what the evidence seems to point to. And I mean, all of these conspiracy theories have never stood up to any kind of, you know, rigorous skeptical scrutiny. And I mean, they've gone over this any way they possibly can. I remember reading a few years ago, somebody actually 3D modeled Kennedy's head being shot to figure out if he was shot from the grassy knoll or the...
Grassy knoll?
Sixth floor of the book depository.
That's the other thing, too. Some people don't even think Oswald did it.
Yeah.
And that's there was this third shooter who was over there. But it's funny. But, you know, Ethan, I have to ask you an interesting question with regards to this. If Jenna, who sort of just found out that there is this place called the United States and they have a president, sorry, you're just handy. Jenna's incredibly smart, and I bow down to her superior knowledge in so many things.
I have a lovely dunce cap today.
But if I sat there, if she just finds out about this, and she starts talking to someone who says, well, you know, that actually there was this huge plot to get Kennedy because they wanted to cover up the Roswell murders. What kind of skills could you bring to this to I don't know, elucidate that this was maybe not the best way to approach this kind of a mystery. What skills would you use to debunk a conspiracy?
So, especially when you don't know that there's one coming at you, a good way to conduct conversations in general for multiple reasons is to ask questions. So if there's absolutely nothing fishy going on, then the person just thinks you're interested, which is a good social skill and may find you a future marital partner. But if there is something fishy going on, you may start to notice the narrative dissolving a little bit. So the more questions you ask, if things aren't seeming to add up, you know that maybe it's a good idea, A, not to take it at face value, B, to maybe probe a little further, and C, to maybe question things that this certain individual has told you in the past.
Well, you know, another option, Jenna, would be to tell this person to listen to Radio Free Thinker every Tuesdays at 3:30 on CITR. Of course, you know, if we don't farmers enough money, our goal is 35,000, then, well, I don't know what will happen.
Exactly.
So maybe the question people should be asking themselves is whether they want to donate online or by calling 604-822-8648, and whether or not they want a prize pack of some fabulous prizes or a full tax receipt.
Yeah, and if they don't, I mean, I don't want to, you know, put the burden on our listeners, but if they don't, then they're letting the Kennedy conspiracists win.
Well, and not only that, right, is think of all the children. Let us remember the children out there.
Yeah. It is close to Christmas, after all.
Yeah. We're going to be manipulated by the Svengalis, and that's another one you have to look up, kids. The Svengalis of the universe, and you don't want them to be duped. And Radio Free Thinker, an independent radio like CITR, provides a means for independent voices to be heard, for people to just hear things you don't normally hear on the standard media. So please call in, support Radio Free Thinker, support CITR now.
Let's go to a commercial break here on Radio Free Thinker.
What time is it, kids?
It's fun drive time!
CITR Fun Drive.
It's easy to donate.
CITR Fun Drive.
Donate online.
CITR Fun Drive.
Donate over the phone.
CITR Fun Drive.
Help provide sustenance to your college community radio station. Join us November 17th to the 24th and call 604-822-1242 to donate or donate online at www.citr.ca/fundrive. Donate today so we can afford professional ads.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And we're back on Radio Freethinker. We're in the middle of CITR's Fun Drive, so call in and donate. That number is 604-822-8648. Remember, folks, the great prize packs that Radio Freethinker is offering, we have limited quantities. So first come, first serve, call in and get your prize pack.
The faster you call, the bigger your guarantee is winning our fabulous prizes.
And let's not forget, Jenna mentioned this earlier, not only do you get the fabulous prizes from Radio Freethinker itself, but CITR is offering its own swag. Swag is like, thank you for donating. At the $30 level, you get a Friends of CITR card. At the $60 level, you get the card plus a CITR record bag. That's a record. Anyhow, at $101.9, you get the card, the bag, and a limited edition surprise. Ooh, I wonder what the surprise is.
I got nothing.
Wow, I would donate just to find out what the surprise was. $250, you get...
Mystery box, my favorite.
Two Friends of CIT cards, the bag, the surprise, and you get to be a host listener for an hour. And for $500, you get two Friends cards, the bag, the surprise, you get to be a listener for an hour and a t-shirt. And for $1,000. You know, I had a check, I'd do that right now. If you have a check, I would write it right now for $1,000 CITR, because you will not believe what you're going to get. You're going to get two Friends of CITR cards. You're going to get the bag. A limited surprise edition gift. Do you get to be a host for an hour? And a hoodie.
You can't go wrong with a hoodie.
No, no. And you get that on top of our own prizes, which again, Ethan, what were our prizes again?
Well, Don, we have a bunch of prizes that have been furnished by our good pals at the JRF. We have bumper stickers and... sticker decals. We have $1 million checks from the James Randi Educational Foundation.
Fake!
Thank you, Jenna. We have the Radio Freethinker box set.
Woohoo!
Yes. We have James Randi's book, The Faith Healers. We have JRF t-shirts at $80. And we have the TAM DVD sets for $101.09. And of course, if you're feeling generous, sign us a check for $250 and come host Radio Freethinker with us.
Yes, and a check to CITR as well.
Yeah, well, it... Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, if they give me a check, I would donate it. I donate it.
Yeah, sure, why not? But and Don...
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that we have to be as skeptics, and this is one of the things that makes us different from a lot of other kind of shows that you might hear out there, is you can get kind of preachy after a while, right? You can sit there and say, oh, well, I have the truth, and I have the exclusive knowledge to the truth. But as a good skeptic, you always have to, at some point, be able to sort of swallow your pride and say, hey, I was wrong. So while I do my, you know, constant interrogation of the internet, I came across this story about the Cyclops shark. I went, ha ha, I thought this would be a great segment for the show, because you'd sit there and we get to show how stupid people are and how, you know, naive they can be, because I was certain when I was going to go find it, there'd be some photoshopped image or something, or it'd be one of those, you know, half-decomposed sort of carcasses that cryptozoologists love to leap upon and say, ha ha, see, this proves that my mythical beast, whatever one they have to be promoting, really, really exists. Well, to my surprise, it turns out cycloptic sharks are real. Sort of.
And not only that, but it's way sadder than you thought.
Yes. Apparently, the shark in question was examined by researchers. It was found within the womb of a female dust shark. And it truly did have a single, more or less functioning eye in the middle of it. Now, remember, this was found in the womb, so it wasn't actually born. But it's a real thing. And the pictures you saw apparently are quite real. Although it's quite rare, Cyclopedia is a real developmental abnormality that does develop with one eye and usually no mouth or some other variations. Its incidence in the natural world is apparently 1 in 16,000 animals will be born with it. About 1 in 250 embryos have it, although the vast, vast majority of these die before their birth. They're like miscarriages. And those that actually do come to term usually last for minutes out of it because it's accompanied by severe, severe mental retardation and malformation.
So what you're really trying to say is instead of making fun of a bunch of cryptozoologists, you actually ended up getting schooled by a bunch of very sad, non-viable mutant babies.
I have pawned by genetics. Yeah, seriously. But, you know, because, I mean, apparently this actually happens in humans, too. Again, very rare. Apparently there's a case in 1982 in Israel, and there's a write-up in 1985 in the British Journal of Ophthalmology, in which case a child was actually born, and it lived for, like I say, about 30 minutes, so not very long because it just had no hope. But this is a genetic abnormality, bad genes, and occasionally it can be done by toxics. But as you point out, I mean, I sat in there, I had my preconceptions, but I was willing to open myself up to the evidence and say, hey, you know, this, I can be wrong. And that ultimately comes down to be one of the keys of being a good skeptic. Is, I mean, everyone has what they think to be true, but a good skeptic is willing to say, well, what I think to be true might be false, but I need some evidence to prove that it's not the way I think about it. And that's the other part. Evidence-based thinking is that you just don't come up with some wild idea and go with it, or you say, well, everything I know might not be true, so it can't be true. And it's those kind of skills that you're going to pick up when you listen to Radio Free Thinker. It's those kind of interesting stories that we're going to shed light on throughout the year. If you donate now to CITR 101.9, you can go online to citr.ca/donate, or you can phone in at 604 UBC unit. and you can donate whatever you can. If you can't afford the $1,000, no problem. If you can only afford $5 or $10, it will be greatly appreciated. But every little bit helps to keep the show on the air, and more importantly, to keep CITR itself on the air. CITR is an independent radio station. We don't have any corporate board that we're really accountable to. We're not out to make a profit. We have no agenda to put forward to. We are independent. That allows for voices like Radio Free Thinker to come out to you wherever you are in Vancouver, Kamloops, Kelowna.
Kamloops.
Jesus.
We're going to have to call Kelowna.
Lethbridge, Winnipeg, or on the internet. And I know people across Canada at least listen to this podcast. Your donation makes this show possible. Please, please donate now.
Well, you know, Don, you were mentioning there evidence-based thinking. And I got a great example of evidence-based thinking. And this is evidence that pizza fans everywhere can rejoice at. Because according to the U.S. Congress, pizza is now classified as a vegetable.
Score.
Yes.
You know, this is funny because I had a friend once who was on one of the sort of diets that you pay for, like a diet program, mm-hmm. in which wine was classified as a fruit. So we used to have some good laughs on that, but man, I think she would have been doing way better if pizza was a vegetable.
Well, I mean, it's pretty interesting having pizza right up there with broccoli, carrots, and Brussels sprouts, but the U.S. Agriculture Department wanted to put limits on school cafeteria foods to help combat childhood obesity. Ideally, they wanted to increase the variety of fruits and vegetables and limit starchy vegetables like corn and green peas. However, the American Frozen Food Institute would have none of this nonsense. And they lobbied Congress on behalf of frozen pizza sellers such as Kong Agra Foods Inc. and Schwan Foods Co. and French fry maker McCain Foods.
Canada's own McCain Foods.
Yeah, and reminded Congress that pizza has tomato sauce on it. Or tomato paste, actually. Surely, tomato paste counts as a vegetable. And surely, Congress agreed. And they will continue to qualify pizza as a vegetable because it contains 2 tablespoons of tomato paste.
I feel like this takes the whole, you know, like, is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable to a whole different level. I mean, if we're talking about how they grow, is it a legume? Is it a root vegetable? Is it a leafy vegetable? What kind of iron does it have in it?
Well, I think, too, this sort of sidesteps, I mean, this is where it kind of goes crazy. It sidesteps the whole issue. It's not so much that pizza itself is unhealthy. Pizza can be healthy if you have, you know, the proper kind of dough and you put the right kind of toppings on it. So it's not that it contains vegetables. If it contained real vegetables, let's say it was like 99%, you know, broccoli and all that. And then they put
broccoli pizza,
corn syrup all over the top of it, or, you know, whipped cream or cheese. I mean, cheesecake pizza. With tomatoes on top. I don't know, that would be a little weird, but
I'm still picturing the broccoli. I don't know.
But still, the point of it being, it's not so much whether it contains a vegetable somewhere hidden deep within in the midst of it. Because, yeah, okay, it's got tomato paste. It's got bread, too. Bread's not that horrible a thing. It's the fat-laden cheese and the salami that's like 99% fat that makes the pizza unhealthy. It's not the tomato sauce that makes it unhealthy. It's the whole thing in composite.
Well, what I love about this story is that originally they had wanted to classify only servings of, I think it was half a cup of tomato paste or more as a serving of vegetables. I don't know if many of our listeners have seen half a cup of tomato paste lately, but if you can imagine that smeared over a slice of pizza, I mean, we're talking probably like twice as thick as the crust. And I would really love to see a slice of pizza, one slice with half a cup of tomato paste on it.
Well, I've had some pretty tomato pasty heavy pizzas before. It's possible.
You've had it with half a cup?
Maybe not half a cup.
I am skeptical.
Well, I've had it with a certain amount. Well, I think more than two tablespoons.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're just claiming 2 tablespoons on the pizza, which is pretty, I mean, even if it is a vegetable, again, pretty thin.
Yeah, I'd say so. But anyway.
So is it a vegetable or not? I don't know. Is it?
Well, I guess so.
Okay. Well, Congress says it's a vegetable. But you see, this is an interesting point.
Congress is always right.
Again, yeah. Tomato's a fruit. How are we classifying tomato paste as a vegetable?
So what you're saying is that we've got a double wrong. I mean, one, we're sidestepping the whole is it a healthy issue, which is ultimately the question. And two, even if we ignore that part, they're misclassifying a fruit as a vegetable.
Totally.
Wow.
They're perpetuating a myth, which is something that we don't like to do here on Radio Freethinker.
No.
We like to not so much bust myths, because it turns out that there's another group that kind of has a racket on the myth busting. But we definitely like to provide our listeners with a skeptical viewpoint on many scientific and social issues, step outside that box, break down those labels and walls, and for that we are requesting that you pledge some cash to keep us bringing you this quality programming, and not only us, but the other quality shows on CITR. And you might not know this, but actually each hour of live broadcasting that comes out of this station costs $28, meaning that each show costs about $2,100 per year. And as an independent college radio station, we really need your support to keep that ball rolling. So we have a fundraising goals of $35,000 this year. We only ask for money once a year. And for goodness sakes, please help us out. Keep us going. And go to either citr.ca/donate or call in at 604-822-8648 to make your donation to Radio Free Thinker and cash in on those amazing prizes.
Absolutely. Let's go to a commercial break here on Radio Free Thinker.
November 17th through the 24th, keep 101.9 on your FM dial and your eye on CITR.ca for updates on all our fantastic Fun Drive events. Help keep your station at the top of its game by making a donation during Fun Drive. No donation is too big or too small. Call 604-UBC-UNIT or check out CITR.ca/Fun Drive for more information.
We like to party, right? Guys like him, they don't like to party, like we do. You know, we're having a lot of fun.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We like to party.
Yeah, we like to party. Did I say that already?
And we're back on Radio Free Thinker. So we have some...
We have a win!
Donation announcements.
Woo!
So, we want to thank Marlene for donating $70 and claiming James Randi's The Faith Healers.
I hope she likes to read.
I'm pretty sure she does.
Now, let's just be clear. This James Randi book, it's not a how-to book.
It's not how to be a faith healer.
Okay, so we're not spawning new faith healers.
No.
Although I wonder if you could use it for that if you're motivated correctly.
I think you can use pretty much any skeptical book to become like a jerk.
That's always one of the claims about trying to suppress certain kinds of knowledge is that, you know, in trying to explore areas of knowledge, you will learn bad things.
In fact, Don, you may not know this, but Richard Wiseman's new book, Paranormality, was not published. I don't know if it has been since, but the reason it wasn't published in America was that it was going to make business hard for ghost hunters and psychics and such. Mm-hmm. And that would have been mean.
Well, you know, that reminds me of another thing that I'm going to put on, forgive me, shit list, is the Discovery Channel has been doing a whole documentary about the Frozen North. Yeah. And a part of that part, Frozen North, the very last episode deals with how climate change is affecting the Arctic. And it's you know, all this, the climate's getting warm and all this. Well, Discovery Channel is not broadcasting that in the United States because it's worried that it's going to offend its listeners and all that sort of thing. And because they're a business and they don't want their sponsors to go away, which just emphasizes the point of how important independent radio it is. I mean, because of economic matters, the Discovery Channel is basically making their listeners stupid by not giving them the information that would be available in this, whereas donating to Radio Free Thinker and donating via CITR is one way to guarantee that there's alternative modes of learning. There's more information out there so that people can learn and know, and they're not held hostage by corporate media.
Yeah.
Well, and it comes right back to what we were talking about, you know, a couple of months ago, as far as the place of big mainstream media and reporting science, and how there tends to be a sensationalization and fear mongering and whatnot, because that's what sells the papers. So again, you know, same thing with radio, same thing with all kinds of other types of media. You really need independent voices to be able to really pick things apart and explain what's really going on. So, for example, there can be some things that sound really scary. That you really could sensationalize, like Matt's like, Don, are you scared of genetic mutation?
I like the good kind, you know, the Hulk kind. I've always, you know, I was one of those kids that was just hoping for nuclear war so I could get one of those superpowers.
What about real genetic mutation?
Well, you know, that can be, I read things.
Are like you just Georgia, not scared of anything?
I read things like the Georgia something, I can't remember the name of it, where they will have articles that will tell me that if you do genetic engineering, if you do any kind of manipulation, it will be the end of life on this planet as we know it.
Smart meters, exactly. Microwaves.
What about viruses? They scare you at all?
No, yeah, viruses can be bad.
And what about the tools that viruses use to attack the things that they attack?
They have tools?
Well, yeah.
Are you
like little drills and like hammers?
You know what? You would be so surprised how similar they are to little drills and little hammers. So what we're talking about here is viral enzymes. And these are tools that the viruses use to accomplish all kinds of tasks. So one of the tools that they have, so lots of viruses, especially some viruses that are actually attacking bacteria, part of their life cycle involves taking some of their DNA and inserting it into the DNA of the host cell that they're invading. And they're able to do this in a really efficient and really specific way in very specific places, all based on these little recognition sequences. So this is a tool that the virus used to carry out its life cycle. Now, it turns out that as we were talking about, as you were saying, with cellular engineering and whatnot, that this is something that humans are looking more and more at doing. So our bodies sometimes... The diseases that we have are because we have a mutation all on our own. We're not able to produce a certain type of protein. We're not able to produce an enzyme that we need to not be in a disease state.
And if only we had some tool at our hand where we could somehow get into the cell and fix its genetic code so that it can do the job that it's supposed to do.
So that's sort of a little more idealized than what's actually going on. So a lot of diseases are actually caused by a missing protein. So for example, if you think of type 1 diabetes, that's the body not being able to produce insulin. And that's only one protein, but it causes the entire suite of symptoms of type 1 diabetes. And there's a whole bunch of diseases like this where you just need one protein. And again, the goal is to get that gene into the cell, get the cell producing that protein, and save the day. However, how we're used to doing this, either with viral vectors, which is a different kind of concept, or different ways to get the DNA into the cell, you never know where that DNA is going to integrate into the chromosome of the human. And if you stick it in some places, first off, you can disrupt another gene and then create a whole new disease. And secondly, you can actually disrupt oncogenes, and those are the types of mutations that end up causing cancer. And this is in a high proportion of people.
Oncogenes?
Yeah, that's what they're called. So they're oncogenes, O-N-C-O gene. And it just is, they're named because they're associated with cancer and disrupting them. Basically either has a really high prevalence of cancer or pretty much always causes it. So you don't want to go, the bottom line is you don't want to go sticking DNA into your cells willy-nilly. So as you're saying, oh, if only we had a tool to do this in a more specific way. So what scientists are doing now is actually borrowing the tool from viruses that attack bacteria, all of which could be potentially very scary words if put in the wrong context, and then administering this along with the gene that we actually want to get inside the human cell. And what happens then is we include in the gene that we want in there those specific recognition sequences, and then that enzyme from the virus is going to help to stick it only in a very specific few places in the genome, and you can characterize those ahead of time and make sure they're safe. And so instead of being able to provide someone a therapy like, yeah, this might cure your disease that you have now, but by gosh, you have a high chance of some pretty serious deadly side effects, we're able to say, okay, here we go. We're going to put this in. We're going to put in this tool that's going to help to inject it safely into your chromosome, and we might actually be able to provide a lasting cure for this disease.
So what you're saying is, unlike what some people will sort of say, that, you know, they're just randomly putting in genes and who knows what the results might be when they do this sort of thing, that there's actually a lot more of testing, and we kind of know where and how it's going to go than you might get from, again, this sort of like, you're creating some sort of aberration of nature, and who knows what the results will be.
Well, even if you're... So this is sort of a more recent development, and before that you really didn't know where that gene was going to integrate into your cell. However, it's not like the results are completely unpredictable. Like, you're not going to grow horns. You're not going to suddenly have cloven hooves. It's just not going to happen. What you might do, again, is create a different disease, although it's not particularly likely, as it would be likely to integrate at different points in each cell. So you'd have to have something that can be caused by one cell, and the major disease that's caused by one cell is cancer.
Wow. See, again, isn't this just such a wonderful example of what you get when you listen to CITR and Radio Free Thinker? Not only do you get the pithy and humorous anecdotes that I bring to it, the salient points that Ethan provides to the show, but Jenna, a wealth of information, of knowledge, of just getting to the really root of things that are just so fascinating, interesting, we all need to do. But yet, we run the risk of never hearing this again. Why? Because you might not donate. And we need you to donate. We need you to go online to citr.ca/donate or phone in at 604-622-8648.
822.
Thank you. Listen to
8648. Yes, call in, donate, win skeptical prizes.
Let's UBC go to unit.
Stop tickling. Let's go to a commercial break here on Radio Free Thinker, and we'll be back with more after this.
Can you imagine a life without CITR? Vancouver would lose an essential source of independent and eclectic music and spoken word programming. We are the home of diverse and hard-to-find music, the things commercial radio doesn't play. Multicultural programming in Vancouver would suffer a great loss. Marginalized communities and people fighting for social change would lose their voice. The community would lose out on CITR-sponsored shows and events. Sounds awful, right? The unique sounds and services of CITR Radio are possible only with your continued support.
To donate to the CITR Fund Drive 2011, call 604-UBC-UNIT or go online to citr.ca/fundrive today. Tune in to the future.
And we're back on Radio Free Thinker here on CITR, of course. And we're encouraging you to donate. And while we're encouraging you to donate, maybe Don can tell us something new.
Let us open up our store and provide you yet another sampling of the product you'll be getting. Genetic trustworthiness. A new UBC Berkeley study finds that it only takes seconds to detect whether a person is genetically wired to be trustworthy, kind, or compassionate. Oh, I came across this story and I thought, wow, I wonder if this is true, because there's always this nature and nurture debate. So I went in and I read a little bit more about it, and it turns out that this study took 2 dozen couples who participated in the study who provided DNA samples. Then the researchers documented the two couples who would sort of sit like across a table, and they would record one of the people as the other one was sitting there telling some sad story, you know, my dog got run over, and they'd be filming the other person's reactions to this.
Oh, my baby was born a Cyclops.
Exactly, exactly. Then they took these videos, and they took 20-minute segments of it, and they showed it to another group of people. And those people essentially rated them as to being more or less trustworthy. So what they found out is that the listeners tended to rate those who are higher empathically with a particular variation of the Oxycontin receptor, a gene known as GG genotype. They found that people who had two copies of this particular G version displayed more trustworthy behaviors. So more head nods, more eye contact, more smiling, that sort of thing. And that these behaviors seemed to be signals of trustworthiness to people who looked at them. Now, of course, I went, oh, well, that's interesting. And then I was talking about this with some people that I know. And they kind of pointed out, well, actually, all the studies showed is that people can appear to be trustworthy if they have these particular traits. Because, I mean, you know, I'm nodding my head. Oh, yes, I care. But there was actually no correlation between did they really feel empathetic towards these people. I was sitting there, I was thinking to myself, I heard lots of anecdotal stories about people like Clifford Olson, who apparently was very affable. People thought he was trustworthy. In fact, for him to do his crimes, it was almost a necessity. So even though people sort of had this genetic predisposition to act trustworthy, didn't actually mean that they were trustworthy.
Although, I mean, I think the significance of the study doesn't really matter either way. The fact that you can have a gene, like a genotype, which is the sequence of your DNA, have some kind of correlation with any behavior, whether that be a deep psychological, you know, empathic property, or whether that be the ability to naturally appear empathic. Either way, I mean, we're talking behavioral versus genotype, and I think that's pretty interesting.
No, and actually, I think I agree. And I think one of the reasons why I thought this was an interesting study was because it's the idea that you can always learn things about people's behaviors or genetics, and these come up with some interesting things, but quite often you will see stories that will take these small snippets of information and blow them out of proportion. As I say, it's quite interesting that others will perceive you in a particular way if you have this particular genetic trait.
Well, and just to put the genetic trait itself into some kind of context, as you said, it's an oxytocin receptor that has a specific genotype. And oxytocin is a chemical, I think, I can't remember if it's a neurotransmitter or, no, I think it's a hormone of some kind. Anyhow, and it's associated with bonding, also with neuroplasticity, interestingly enough. But there's a ton of it that's released during pregnancy, as well as initial pair bonding in a couple, and breastfeeding and that kind of thing. And it's associated with bonding and forming new neural pathways for that
it's
type
like
of behavior.
Love hormone or something, isn't it?
It is associated, yeah, with that. The thing is, it's kind of tricky to talk about anything like particularly, but it's often called that.
Yeah.
But definitely mounds of it are involved in pregnancy and the birthing process, and I think is also a bit of a natural anesthetic.
It also shows you the very interesting complexity of what we consider as to be, you know, conscious thought. I mean, we think pro-social behavior itself, we think to be one of the things that makes us human. It's one of the things that's part of our conscious mind. I mean, to socialize is to be human, sort of thing. And yet, underneath it all, it seems to be, it's actually not really so much a process of our mind, but there may be, at least in part, a process that is actually just biological. It's genetic. It's chemical in nature, and really kind of has nothing to do with you. It's just what you happen to be, which I think is kind of fascinating.
I find it very fascinating that you draw a distinction between the two.
Well, philosophers will tend to make that. It's one of the nature of the beast. And speaking of beasts.
Speaking of beasts?
Right. Well, we often talk about placebos. In fact, some people have stated that the most consistent effective pill in clinical trials is the sugar pill. The success, of course, is due to placebo effect. And we've often discussed how this effect, be it the sugar pill, be it its only water kind of drugs, or the popular sort of sham therapy, can be very dangerous to people because it promotes this sort of unreal medicine. However, apparently the placebo effect has an evil twin called the nocebo. The nocebo effect is the lesser known cousin to placebo, and is described any cause where putting someone in a negative frame of mind has an adverse effect to their health or well-being. So, for example, if you tell people that a medical procedure is going to be extremely painful, they will experience more pain than if you just shut up and kept it to yourself.
Although if you tell someone that they're going to be out for their wisdom tooth surgery and then that doesn't happen, it's still going to be painful.
Okay.
Just adding that.
Oh, there's a whole story there that we might get to before the end of the show about how anesthetics can fail you. But a similar side effects. Similar side effects can be attributed to placebo and drug trials, where, you know, if the doctor tells you this is a pill, it's going to make you feel better, it helps you. Conversely, if a doctor sits there and tells you, well, we're going to give you this new drug, and this new drug is associated with diarrhea or aches and pains or some other sort of side effect, the doctor telling you that makes it more likely for that to actually occur. Now, where this became really interesting, I went, well, you know, this is an aspect I hadn't thought about. When you're doing clinical trials, people will sit there, and part of it is they have to make sure it seems real. So they tell you that we're going to give you this medication. Part of this medication is you're going to get dry mouth, you're going to get all these symptoms. And even when the people are taking the sugar pill, they will have a higher incidence of exhibiting these side effects, which, of course, cannot really be there because they're not actually getting the medication. But they will show a higher incidence of these side effects. And I just thought, wow, that is so cool.
So when you say that the effects aren't actually there, I think I have to take some... So that's definitely true in some cases. But it's sort of interesting, both the placebo effect and the nocebo effect, that they have really interesting implications when it comes to psychosomatic disorders, which do actually exist. And these are a little tricky to discuss a lot of the time because they really... are coming from your brain, not your body, but the symptoms are 100% real. So a really dramatic example of this is some allergic reactions. So some people have a really strong allergy to, say, you know, peanuts. And this is to the point where the smell of a peanut can actually trigger a real and very really deadly anaphylactic reaction. So what's really tricky about this situation is normally the reaction from the peanut is actually when it's ingested and there are certain proteins that make it into the bloodstream. So when you're smelling the peanut, those chemicals are not getting into the bloodstream. What you're doing is sensing something that is normally associated with that protein. And so it's actually going to your brain thinking peanuts, and then triggering an anaphylactic reaction that's through a completely different physiological pathway than if you had eaten the peanut. But this, you still have this allergic reaction. And there can be some really measurable physiological reactions. However, I'm not saying at all, please don't get me wrong, that a positive attitude is sufficient to cure disease all on its own. But there are a lot of really cool things that happen at the intersection between our psychology and our physiology. And I mean, like I was saying before with you drawing the distinction between the two, I don't think it's actually all that surprising, because although we think of our thought processes and consciousness and whatnot as separate from our physical bodies, it's basically all neurons when you're talking about this sort of disorder.
Ah, but again, allow me to put on my philosopher's cap. You've heard
just
of,
a second, it's really big. He needs a second. Okay, don't hit the mic.
So, where this comes out a lot too, and we're kind of going to go left on this a little bit, but is the idea of pain, right? So if you went through a horrific incident with your particular, Jenna, may I tell them that you went through some surgery recently?
Yeah.
And
I think I posted it on the blog.
Yeah. So during this surgery, she exhibited a severe amount of pain because the anesthetic that she went through didn't work.
True.
And so, but let's pretend that instead of having the surgery done in your mouth, you had it done on your right arm.
Okay.
And let's pretend, again, because this really happens, that you actually don't have a right arm. You lost it several years ago
in
a war accident. But you still sit there and you say, I feel pain in my hand. But you have no hand. So in one sense of the word, no, you are not actually feeling pain, even though you think you are feeling pain.
And you're thinking you're feeling pain.
Did you say that when you were on the dentist chair? You think, oh, I'm only thinking I'm feeling pain.
I was disinhibited from the anesthetic that I actually did, so I couldn't do mind over matter.
But it points out that, I mean, in that particular instance, there were neurons firing that were pain in the physical sense of the term, and it correlated with I feel these senses, and I think I have pain. And in a way, those can be two very separate things. And something like phantom limb syndrome is a great example of where, even though you may think you feel pain, you are not actually in a physical state of pain.
Depends on how you qualify pain, though. If you're qualifying it as the physical thing that's happening to your body.
It's depending whether it's a physical stimulus or the experience of that stimulus, because the experience of that stimulus is happening in either case.
Exactly. And that's why, in one sense, to say, no, you are not feeling pain is a nonsensical statement if the person is actually feeling pain. But, again, notice the word feeling pain versus having pain.
I don't know if you can use that for pain.
No, actually, well, yes, you can, Jenna, and I can prove it because there's lots of books written on the subject.
There's lots of books written on psychics, but it doesn't prove that they...
Well, it depends on how you define it.
Peer-reviewed sort of scientific sort of thing. And actually, that's where you get a huge difference between both the neuroscience, the physiologist, and the philosophers, because they all look for specific markers as to, in their discipline, what qualifies as...
Well, and I suspect that each of those papers and books has very specific definitions at the beginning.
And, you know, it's funny how that's important. And, in fact, speaking of the importance of definitions, it is definitively important, if I may stretch the word, that we get support from listeners like you out there in Radio Land, in podcast land, or wherever you might be listening to us. Yes, aliens.
Disneyland.
Could be.
Yeah.
That you phone in to 604-822-8648. Did I get it right this time?
You bet.
Yep.
That's 604-UBC unit. Or go to citr.ca/donate and phone in your donation. Our show is coming towards the end, but you can donate anytime until anytime you want to this week, preferably, or anytime at all. But send us your donation. It's important to keep the show on the air. It's important to keep the radio station on the air. It's important to keep you sane, skeptical, and rational. Please donate now.
And if we want to talk, sorry, Ethan, about the difference between correlation and causation, there is a direct causative effect of you donating and us staying on the air. This is not just a correlation. No, no. Your dollars go directly to keeping this radio station running. And it is because of those donated dollars that we are able to do the work that we do here. And without them, it just wouldn't happen.
And there is also a causation of you donating dollars and you getting awesome skeptical prize packs. And again, let's give a big shout out to the James Randi Educational Foundation, a great U.S. nonprofit that promotes scientific skepticism in the media.
Go, Jenna!
Resources to skeptical education activists and works in support of our community of skeptics and freethinkers around the world. Randi.org. Find out more about them. And of course, we have these prizes right here. Donation of $20 will receive a JREF sticker and decal, and a Flim Flam bumper sticker so that you can never have that problem of driving somewhere and not having the person behind you know that you like James Randi.
Well, you know, it's another thing, too, because, I mean, one of the things that, because we live in a culture that seems to denigrate, you know, people who want to go out and investigate things. You should just go along with the crowd. And things like these stickers and these decals, they seem kind of silly, but they are a sense of identity. It's your way of sitting there saying, listen, I just don't take things on faith. I'm willing to go out and I'm willing to learn more about how the universe works. And I'm interested to meet other people who are of like mind. We have Skeptics in the Pub that happens 3 times a month or so in various locations. It's important that we build this community. And part of building this community is keeping CITR on the air. And most importantly, keeping us on the air. Because let us remember, we are there's a word, I can't remember it, but anyhow, we're important. Don't
you? Yes, we are important.
Flagship. We're the flagship show of this radio station, at least in my own opinion. There we go.
In reference to the bumper sticker, though, I would really like to see a proper scientific study on the causation or correlation of bumper stickers and rear enders.
Actually, I was reading in, I can't remember if it was Quirkology, Richard Wiseman, but a professor, I think, I don't know, somewhere in California, had students put on bumper stickers that said, I support the Black Panthers, and then had a control group with no bumper stickers. And then he had them drive around.
I think they need a third group with, like, Save the Bunnies or something.
They had one that said something like, America, love it or leave it or something. Something like that.
Okay.
And they drove around. They were ordered to obey all of the rules, like, fastidiously obey all the rules, and the students who had the I Support the Black Panthers got something like $600 worth of penalties and parking tickets versus the Control and the I Love America one.
Were they rammed from behind particularly often?
No, they just got like pulled over a lot.
Wow.
So there you go, bumper stickers. It'll save you money. Or conversely, cost you money. annual donation of $30 or more will receive a checkbook fill of $1 million checks. So check that out. Now, any donation of $40 or more will receive the Radio Freethinker CD gift pack, including the best of and best of interviews, so you can take Radio Freethinker, you know, anywhere you want to go. The book, of course, has been claimed already, so you missed it on that one. But you can still catch up on the JREF t-shirts. We have the Flim Fam t-shirts and the Debunk t-shirts. That's for $80. And any donation of $101.09 will receive the TAM DVD set, either TAM 5.5 or TAM 7. And of course, finally, $250 will earn you a spot to host Radio Freethinker.
Wow. And I mean, that would be such an honor for anyone out there listening to.
Okay. Such an honor.
And you get to boss Don around.
Yeah, actually, no, it would. Yeah, and I will feed you coffee. I will do what your beck and call, as long as it's legal. Is there anything else you get if you donate?
You bet. There's all kinds of CITR-specific prize packs, including multiple Friends of CITR cards, which are available at every level. You get, for $60, you get that plus a cooler. You can add a sweet CITR t-shirt for a donation of 101.9, which is $101.90 for those of us who are playing along. You can add a travel mug to that incredible prize pack for $175. Oh my goodness, at $250, you also get to be a host listener. And then a tote bag goes along with that. At $500, you get a CITR hoodie along with that. And for $1,000, you get two Friends of CITR cards, two coolers, two travel mugs so that you can travel with whoever you're traveling with to go use your CITR card. One t-shirt, one hoodie, you can each wear one. One tote bag you have to share, and a host listener hour.
So, fantastic prizes. And the best thing of all, you get that warm, fuzzy feeling that you're supporting independent radio and, you know, not supporting non-independent radio, which, let's face it, is kind of lame.
Yeah, well, you know, we all talked about the evil corporate empire out there and how... Okay, I won't go on that bandwagon. But no, you're right. Not only do you get to feel the warm, fuzzy feeling, but as we all know, information is power. And part of what we're doing here is we are helping to educate our listeners. And in doing so, we make you not only better people, but we make society better. Because when you make your decisions, if you vote, if you buy, whatever you do, you're going to do it being an informed person. You're not going to do like Steve Jobs did and hold off on proper medical treatment because you thought some sort of woo-woo medicine would help you. No, you will not only make yourself feel better, but you will make the world a better place to be. And all you need to do, or at least, is to donate to CITR and Radio Freethinker. Do it now. We're listening. Come on. I'm gonna keep saying this until you donate. Donate. Come on.
Wait, one last option. If you are, in fact, a big proponent of the mainstream media and you hate independent radio and you hate independent voices and you really love the status quo and you don't want to hear the truth, then you should take a leaf out of the book of Phoebe Buffay and make a punch in the direction of altruism and donate anyway.
Actually, sure. If you have all those things, I would really highly recommend the $250 donation. You can come on here, the Radio Free Thinker, and you can just take us to task and say, listen, I believe in homeopathy and you guys have just got all crap. We'd love for you to come on like that, and we'll treat you respectfully. We will. We may disagree with you, but if you have a dissenting opinion to what we have, you think there's something that we've overlooked, something we've just brushed off in our own flippant way, donate that $250, and you just come on and put us in our place, I challenge you to that.
Well, we're pretty much out of time here on Radio Freethinker. Remember, folks, you don't just have to donate right now. You can donate to Radio Freethinker for the rest of the fun drive, which ends on the 24th. That number is 604-822-8648. And this is Ethan, your freethinking historian, saying thanks for listening.
This is Don saying, wallets open, money out.
And this is Jenna saying, the real world is amazing.
Any donation will be accepted, small or large.